You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome back to the second episode of Preppy Pimpin'. It's your hostess with the mostest, Brian. I'm here, as always, with my co-host.
Douglas Crocker, you know what the fuck going on.
And I'm here as well today with special guest, Micah. Micah, why don't you go ahead and introduce the listeners to yourself?
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's Micah, being a better me every day. Have my own podcast, B.A.B. and Me, being a better me every day. Just already said it. I am positive. I love psychology. I love thinking funny, and I love thinking intellectually. Bow!
Bow! All right, perfect. So, you know, on today's episode, we, before the show, before coming here to record, we're out having a conversation. And I know for myself the other day, we were talking about that Trump and Kanye West interview, or I should say Jimmy Kimmel interview, and it was crazy. But one of the things that he touched on was mental health and the fact that it is not discussed a lot in the black community. So I felt with us all being young, millennial, African-American males, whatnot, a better platform to be able to discuss mental health and be able to actually push our content out there and let people know.
I dig it. Let's get into it.
Perfect. So I know for myself, I have ongoing battles with, you know, anxiety and depression, and I feel like it's something that happens a lot with other people, but it's just we don't all necessarily discuss this. So I'm curious to see if, you know, you guys have gone through anything like that, and if so, you know, what's worked to help kind of pull you out of it?
Man, I know with me personally, it was around, I want to say, I was about 15 years old when I started to develop early signs of just depression and whatnot. Back that period of my life, I had a lot going on. I was going to an all white school. I'm sure a lot of listeners may not be familiar with this. This part of the Michigan Dexter rural area, ducked off. I'm from Detroit myself, so I've been used to the big city life,
a little more urban.
Yeah.
Little more of us out there.
Like, no, like, for real, the population of that town, like, for real, was, like, 98% white people. It was, like, it was just crazy, and especially coming from the west side of Detroit, it was just a big culture shock for me to come from an urban setting such as the inner city of Detroit to this ducked-off, rural, just no black people within a good 20-30 minute radius of the area. And just, I've always been so used to just being around people who I felt were more like me. So just coming into an area where I'm kind of like the outcast and just the outlier, it was definitely hard to adjust initially and just, you know, with not knowing people like that, not having people to talk to, and then just having things going on in my life too, along with all this, it just started to become a lot for me. It started just to bottle up over the years until, again, like when I was 15, my sophomore year of high school, and that's when I just started to explode. I became real just suicidal mentally. I didn't have anybody I felt like I could talk to pertaining just what I had going on in my head and just what was going on with me. And, you know, it was definitely a rough period. And even just me now, 25 years old, I would still say that I haven't quite shook just how to live without just going through these episodes of depression and whatnot. I definitely, with the suicidal thoughts though, at least I'm glad I can say that I'm more so past that, because it's to the point now where I understand that even when I'm going through these periods in my life where I just feel like there's just no end in sight, I know I got things that I'm still trying to accomplish in life before I gotta ultimately check out. I still got people who are counting on me that are still living that I can't leave this earth for. So that's what has caused me to just somewhat be able to get out the rut of just thinking like, man, I don't need to be here anymore. There's no purpose for me on this earth. And also just with me getting older and beginning to realize who I am as a person and what exactly it is that I'm trying to do with my life, just keeping the end goal in terms of where I see myself within the next few years, just keeping that in mind, that's what I just try to think about when I start to get into periods of just depression and not knowing what the next move is. Just remember what you're living for and who you're living for, and just you gotta keep pushing through, because like there's gonna be some times where you feel like you don't know what to do. You just gonna feel like this, damn, like I'm out here by myself. I don't know who to talk to or whatnot, but so you gotta remember, you just gotta keep the end goal.
Keep the faith.
Oh yeah.
So I have a very interesting take, first of all. So I've definitely so to kind of give the preppy pimping audience a little bit of a understanding on who in the world and crap I am, it's just the gist of I've had a life where I was born in Detroit, raised in Southfield, and
hey, what side of the city?
So in Southfield?
No, Detroit.
And I was born in Sinai. Was it Sinai Grace? Sinai. And then I was. So let me give you the gist of that. So in Detroit, I was born in Detroit, but I was raised in South. And the reason why I say that is because I was literally born in Detroit, but where we lived was like on the corner of Southfield and Detroit.
So like around like 8 Mile?
Yeah. Okay. So it was that area where it's like you cross the street, you're in Detroit. You cross the block and you're in Detroit. So that's kind of where I was. And I don't even remember the cross streets of where I really lived, because I don't really remember too much of living in Detroit besides like the sofa that I had and like the Mickey Mouse blanket. It's
probably on that sofa and blanket.
Oh, it was a very, I slept Mouse. Like a baby, because I was. Yeah. And it, so yeah, so that's kind of like the random beginning of my life. But what I really like to help people understand, like Southfield is interesting. Southfield is very interesting in the case of you see the best of both worlds. You see what's going on in the hood. You also see what's going on in the suburbs. Like, so I was able to see the nice houses, everything like that. And then I was also able to chill with the people, you know, down on 7, yeah. You know, Schaefer, you know, all that. So I was able to, you know, get it in with still some people. Now, for me in my life, throughout the gist of everything, I basically had the mental issue. First of all, I think this is dope. There is 3 black men talking about mental issues.
Yep. Preach.
You feel me?
It's
like
rare.
Preach.
We don't, like, before y'all even continue listening to this, can y'all understand that there is 3 black men in their 20s who are talking about mental issues? This don't happen.
It doesn't.
Like, it just doesn't. Like, you don't see us, like, just on a corner on the gas station just like, yo, so how's your mental health?
Man, I'm feeling a little down today. You know? I don't know, like, what's going on.
Yo, man, I think I actually love my girl, and that's going to make me depressed. Like, nobody's going to
talk about that.
So this is dope that you was even able to, like, share your experience, because I just think that's really cool. Now, with me, I had depression probably within my middle school to high school year. And the reason being is because of I am very analytical. I was able, as a young kid, to analyze situations at a very young age. I was able to actually solve them at a very young age. I felt like I knew why my parents was arguing and how to cure that by the age of, I don't know, 6 to 7. But imagine a 6-year-old trying to confront your mom and dad saying, hey,
I know what's wrong. You guys need to tell me and I'll explain it.
Yeah, my butt would have got beat to the point of I wouldn't have been able to sit down, which has happened before. But I just chose not to do that route. Depression happened in the sense of when you feel like you know too much, you feel like it's a burden. When you feel like you know, for example, you feel like you know the answer to some of the questions that people like. I don't ask dumb questions in the sense of if something's going on with me, I'm not going to ask a person who I feel like is unqualified to answer the question, which was honestly a lot of people. Like they just wasn't thinking like on their head. Mm-hmm. So it's like I came to a point where I didn't know who to ask. Everyone seemed unqualified. So because of that, I felt like I was in my own head. I felt like I am a believing man, so I love God. And I felt like I was trying to ask God, and I didn't feel like I had the clear communication with God. And honestly, it just like ended up to where I just didn't know what to do. I was like, look, and I'm like, I was just depressed. I'm like, everything is weird. Like everything is weird.
It's a weird space of knowing, but then unknowing at the same time.
Exactly.
Where, you know, you might have the answers for everything, but at the same time, you know, you could be too smart for your own good to where it then creates more what I like to call thought pretzels. And it, you know, just has you going off on different tangents and things like that.
Yo, and honestly, I would consider myself an EQ person. Real talk, like I'm emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
So like when you, like I couldn't say at 12 or 13, I'm too smart to tell you my problem so you can give me answers. They would have tried to ask me all these IQ questions and made me, look, when you in middle school, all you need is one joke and you popular for a week. So like that was easy. That was easy game for me. Like if I said, man, you can't handle my situation, they'd be like, boy, that's why your pants too tight.
Dog, and then they were the row sessions were at full effect in middle school. Oh my gosh.
It was
terrible.
It was, and everybody spread it. I remember I told this joke when I was younger, like I was in fourth grade. I was popular for like 2 weeks. They were saying that I felt like the man. I was like, there was this girl who was like we saw her like, you know, picking her nose. I think we saw her eating her. So I like made this joke and I was like, yo, that's why she never eat lunch, because she got her burgers for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now we went crazy. Everybody was like, yo, Michael, hilarious. Man, them 2 weeks was high life. I was excited to go to school. But then she stopped picking her boogers. So that was my popularity. But like, but like at the end, all like, yeah, that's kind of where that happened for me. So to kind of give y'all a gist of that's where depression happened for me. Right now, I don't think I deal with that in the sense of where how I used to deal with it. So, however, I do understand a lot of people. Real talk. Like, so let's just, like, if you don't mind, let's just dive into Kanye. Let's just get right into it. Like, I understand slightly on where he's coming from.
Yeah.
Real talk. Like, he says some outrageous things, and this is what people do. If a wall needed to be destroyed, instead of like logically like taking it down piece by piece, there are some people who just take a wrecking ball and just blow and just bust it down, and people don't understand why, and it messes things up. But in their mind, they're like, the wall's down. I feel like that's how Kanye is. He's a wrecking ball, and it's not like he's doing it because it doesn't make sense. He's doing it because it does make sense. Y'all wanted the wall down, but it's not understood why you did it that way. So when, let's say, he says slavery is a choice.
That's a hot take. that's you know, cuz honestly I'm a big Kanye stan, you know, Through the Wire, all of it, Life of Pablo, even this new one, it's fire. But when he said slavery is a choice, I couldn't rock with them for a minute.
Let me give you my gist on it. And this is all gonna get back to the mental. But we just vibing, y'all. The preppy pimping people vibing. Preppy pimping people.
That's it. It's alliteration at its finest.
A preppy pimping people.
Boop, 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 boop. I wish you had like air horns right now. That's
can they hear this? Hey, that's
school's in session. We about to school you.
Ooh.
Ding, ding.
Snap. So here's the thing. Here's my take on that, right? Look, slavery is not like we all just got up and said, hey, I want to get whipped and lynched, right? Yeah, we get that. So it's the sense of, he said, for 400 years, it sounds like slavery was a choice. Because for 400 years, you had a multitude of people that actually outnumbered the, you know, the slave masters and the law in that time. Like, when I say law, like their own plantation field.
Yeah.
What happened was very mental. A lot, and that's the thing that we don't want to, and that's what this podcast is right now about. Like, a lot of what happened in slavery was a lot of mental. They mentally abused the husbands to devalue, first of all, the heads of the household. That was back then. Like, they did a lot of mental destruction to help keep slaves in check.
That's real.
So, in the sense of the mental captivity, it is not a choice to stay in, but when you have been mentally captivated, that means you have slightly a choice to get out. However, it's hard. But there is a physical choice. He was talking about a physical choice from a mental captivity.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I can, you know, because I slightly understood what he was saying. I just think that bro's in a man's face.
It just sucked the way he said it.
And I know I'm someone who, you know, is technically a manic depressive, which basically just means bipolar. So I could be doing really, really good and then flip on like the drop of a hat. And you have these stages of mania. But really, it comes from, to your point, that whole mental blockage of where, like, you're mentally, you know, in your head, and you start to make, you know, those thought processes up about things that just aren't true. Or, you know, you'll jump to conclusions. You know, it's never a fun exercise when you jump to conclusions.
Example, if someone gave you a hammer and gave you a nail on a piece of wood, and it's like all you have to do is hit from the hammer, hit the nail. You can mentally not do it and feel like you can't. But physically, all you have to do is hit the nail.
Yeah, it's light work.
It's light work. But mental, it can make it so much bigger than what it actually is. And in the sense of that, I can understand. But however, a lot of people think that mental captivity, mental issues, mental, because it, like, it can slightly be explained. However, it isn't, I think the real root issue of mental, like just depression, mental captivity, is really the gist of how to find your answers. I think that's just the gist of it. Like,
in Kanye fashion, you don't got them answers, Sway.
You don't got the answers.
You
don't answers,
got the answers, Sway.
Sway. You don't, and,
well, he was looking for the answers then.
He was looking for the answers. Like, and we try and find our answers by any means necessary. But here's the issue, I think. We find our answers, or like, I think the issue is when we're trying to find our answers, we are afraid to question them to make sure they're valid. Right? Like, I feel like we are, like, I feel like, oh, man, we can't do that to the podcast.
Yeah, my bad.
Oh.
I just... We're in here in the studio. Shouts out Podcast Detroit for putting us up in this dope studio.
Hey, but shout out.
I just saw a coaster.
Shout out to Nut Brown.
Yeah, and one of the drinks on the coaster is Nut Brown. That's hilarious. definitely a distraction here. But you know, continue.
We like to be immature here.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's good.
We're discussing mental health.
That's a shame. That's a shame. See, that's mental. See, that's mental. See, Nut Brown, you could easily drink it, but will you?
I'm not drinking no damn Nut Brown. I'll tell you that right now. Miss me with that one.
It's a mental thing.
That's what I pick up from my girl. We're like, baby, I got you this Nut Brown. You know what I'm saying? A wink at her, too. She know what's up.
Hey. Real talk, but like to kind of piggyback off of what you were talking about, Micah, with the whole Kanye thing and just the mental slavery, is somewhat going off on a tangent of the topic of mental just mental illness or whatnot. But I feel like with just racism, more so amongst Black and African American people, I feel like racism stemmed off of just how things were back during the days of slavery, but just the negative perceptions being created of
people mentally coming into things with their prejudices.
Yep, and just like just over time, just the slave masters and just overall society just telling black people that you're not capable of this, you're beneath everyone else and all this, and just over time, this just being just constantly just regurgitated into just the minds of just all black African American people, whatever, just dark skinned people really in general in America, just this perception has been just replayed back and forth to the point to where you hearing it so many times, you almost gonna think, oh damn, this just might be true. But like I was thinking about this the other day too. When you take away the negative stereotypes that have been put on black people over the years, I feel like we got some of the best stereotypes in terms of just, you know, more black people are known to be just in better shape physically, whether they trying or not. Shit, we known to be packing. If you pick it up what I'm putting down.
They also say black don't crack too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
skincare.
That shit, we always looked at as the cast said, like, yo, we you know, we hip, we up on this,
we
the
salt,
or whatnot.
We the salt. Anything with salt tastes better.
We the salt. We the sauce, we the shit. We,
I done had some bland
black
chicken before.
Put black with any race, you're going to get a beautiful looking baby.
That's real
either
shit.
Either race. I'm not going to speak on any other race. It's not like you could put any other race with another race and it's not going to look a
that's
beautiful
true.
Baby.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
We're equal opportunity here.
Exactly.
All genders, races. I'm not trying to offend the people, you know what I'm saying?
Look, so I actually want to comment on that. So let's look at it. Real talk. So this is going to be interesting. Back in that time, the only reason why they were offended, let's do relation and fear. All of this comes from fear. First of all, we're all humans, okay? So even back then, no matter even if they saw a different color, they cannot deny that we are not human. It's just where we came from. And that's what the confusion was. And where we came from, when you cannot answer where we came from, you are fearful. When you are fearful, you then go into the need of protection and anger. And these are human characteristics. Back in that time, they chose not to actually have more of a sympathetic. They went straight to the, I don't know, so I will protect. So within protect, they're protecting their families, not giving a crap about us because they don't know. And neither
keeping
do they
mentally enslaved. That's what it was.
You know? So it's like, what is taught to us to fear the most? Fear itself and the unknown.
Yeah.
Right? So we were unknown. We were literally the embodiment of unknown, because what is usually unknown? White isn't usually unknown. Black is unknown. Even though if you think about it, put a all white space and all black space, you still basically really see nothing.
Yeah.
It's only when you embody color that you see things. But in the sense, they only saw white, right? So they were scared of the darkness. The darkness is what they usually consider death, all of that. That's what they embodied us with. So when you add that fear, not knowing what to do with that fear, you instantly go into a native human characteristic of protection. Then you usually end up with a form of racism because of the darkness of a color. Right. So am I saying that I get it? No, I'm saying psychologically, the human characteristics, it lines up on the reason why. But they made a choice to, even when they found out, oh, the pigment of their skin, more melanin, blah, blah, blah. Like they still found out to be where it's like, I've been afraid of this for so long. Even if you try and rationalize it, it's not right. So in that sense, they then went into power, possession. I will own, because if I don't, then you're going to override. Because when you start doing something bad, let's say if you rob a store, right? You rob one store, it's like you get your taste of it. And then if it went well, you really like it. They got their taste of power over a whole culture. They're like, oh, snap. Even if it does make sense now, skip it. No. Because now that we've done it, who's going to say that they're not going to come back mad and try and kill my family? Protection. human characteristics. Racism isn't just because, oh, I hate black people. No, it's now a, of course, a generational thing. This has now been a choice on your behalf. This is a ultimate choice on your behalf to kind of, it's a choice and a tradition. It's now a tradition. Racism is a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
If we can think about that, then we can start breaking walls. Like, it's a tradition. And because traditions are usually known as sacred, that's why they're still going to be racist.
That's interesting. A few comments just from hearing that is, you know, for the fact that, you know, black people were unknown to white people in that time and there's that fear. Could you imagine being in Africa or like, you know, in the Ivory Coast and you just see like a bunch of white people pop up? Could you imagine what was in their head? Like, yo, who the fuck is this guy?
Who is, who is these niggas?
Yo, he's been in a cave or something for a minute.
look at
this guy.
Look at, actually, there's still indigenous countries who, first of all, don't even believe, understand technology exists.
Yeah, dude.
There are still, like, areas where they, like, do the spears and everything. They eat yabors. Like, they eat everything like that, like, natural, like, and they don't know about this technology world. So there are still the people, like black people, you know, when we saw them, it was said like we caught them certain things. We were fearful. We attacked too.
Yeah.
It's just that they had a little bit more attacking firepower while we connected a lot.
They was big. Their unit was bigger.
Exactly.
I swear they
were cutting deals too with the black people there. Let me get that guy.
No, I swear though, like, even just like from back in the day, but so now I swear that just society is afraid of just what black people can do once they got when they got their mind right and they not mentally saved and whatnot and they just able to come together and just do their thing and take over. If like society is afraid of that, that's why there's these negative perceptions of us out there to kind of keep us down mentally, and just over time, this what's the word I want to use? This propaganda, just the propaganda that's been placed on us is just over time. It just constantly being fed to society. After hearing something for so long, you're going to start to believe it because it's just like, oh, if everybody's saying this, so this has to be true. And that's just like what I feel like that's what's been going on over the years.
Like I said, honestly, the tradition of a thing is going to make it continue. And if it's still considered sacred without the questioning of what makes it sacred, then of course it's going to continue, right? So like for me, I don't think can I just say this? I think it's so unfair to other cultures and races. I mean, races, not racist, but races, that the black and white issue is gone for so long. And I'm like, I feel like Hispanics are just like, well, we'll just let them do their thing. I don't know. That was a wrong accent. I don't know. Bleep that. So, but I just think it's so unfair. Like, there's so many different cultures, and it's just like the whole world, like, we just sit around, it's only black and white. I'm like, just like we consider there's so many different colors, like, and it's the color that makes everything, like, really shine out and pop. Like, I just always believe, like, it's always so unfair to, like, include that when there has been, I don't know, Russians always hating. And this is probably an ignorant comment, but I forgot who the Holocaust was dealing with Germans and Jews, right? So, like, there's always been racial conflicts of the unknown of every single different race. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, if I met a racist, it's like, I honestly natively know, because of psychology, you don't just... It's bigger than surface level. You're just following this tradition, and you're following this tradition because of the sense of it's been sacred over the year, and it makes sense of the sacredness, period. That's literally it. Like, you don't actually hate me. You can't hate something you really don't know.
Negative propaganda is what it is.
It's just not psychologically and human characteristic possible. And again, that's mental. A lot of our issues in our entire life contains mental. If I lost my apartment right now, which that would be bad. That's all my stuff. People would consider that a bad thing. Like, oh no, what's going to happen?
Yeah, you're fucking
up. You're depressed. Oh my gosh, you have nowhere to. Here's the thing. There is so many other places. My mind will instantly go to, oh crap, okay. Do I have money? Blank. Can I do this? Blank. Okay, can I do this? Blank. Can I still walk? Can I still talk? Can I still like have my hands? Do I still have all of these things? Because these things I know how to use. I can do something with this. Like, it's just how we think of something. Like, it's not really that, like, if it's talked about more on how we think of a thing and how our, just psychologically, if we think of a thing can be better, we think like, oh, it's going to be better. No, it's still going to suck. But if you think it can be better, then it has a possibility of being better because you now have created the road. You've opened yourself up to a road that you did not open yourself up to.
That's that movie, The Secret. I don't know if y'all ever seen that, but that's
That is one of the realest. If you have not seen The Secret,
isn't that a book? That's a book, right?
It's a book.
It's a book and like kind of like a documentary.
Yeah.
If you've not seen or read that, please do, because that is some of the realest shit.
Because it shouldn't be a secret.
It shouldn't.
Like, it's dealing with
the secret's out now.
Yeah. Secret's out the back.
We needed somebody like some gunshot. We need a little thing. With little sound effects and whatnot. That shit would have this bitch lit.
put your headphones on. I got you.
Oh, it's been on this
whole time. Oh, we got it? Okay.
I have this.
Yes.
Or this.
Oh, I like that one.
That one.
Yes.
Shouts out to Randy. Shouts out to Randy.
Wait. Do the shouts out to Randy, then bow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Shouts out to Randy. Yeah. We're going crazy right now. Randy, the engineer, the best in the game. Ding, ding. Schooling y'all.
Ding. Y'all ain't ready.
But now, just to say on topic, though, just if you keep hearing negative over time, you're going to be taught to believe the negative. But if you just keep this a positive affirmation and just look at the just the bigger picture and just believe that good can come from a particular situation, if you hold true to that belief over time, that's just going to spill out into your life, and you're not going to know nothing but to just think positive and to make the best out of a situation, because that's all you're thinking about. And over time, you're going to get yourself out of it. And that's just like with depression and just mental illness, one of the best things you can do, even when it's at them points to where it's hard to think otherwise, just keep a positive mindset. And because if you continue to believe positive and think positive and do nothing but positive things, you're going to attract that to your life. And over time, that's just going to be just all you know, because you're not thinking about no negative shit. And even when something occurs that's negative in your life, you're not going to look at it as negative, because you're going to look at it from the from a bigger picture point of view, just as like say if, you know, some shit happens and from that negative experience happening, you got to bounce back. You're not going to look at it as if like, oh damn man, I fucked up. You're going to look at it like, oh well, I know moving forward I can't do this anymore, and then just continue to move forward and learning from the mistake you made in the past. And over time, you're not even going to look at it as a mistake. You can look at it like, damn, I'm glad that happened, because that showed me that I can't be moving like this anymore. And if you are holding true to that and just keeping a positive mindset and just moving forward positively in terms of doing what you know you need to do in order to better yourself in time, that's all you're gonna know. You're not gonna know negative. You're not gonna know to think negative, less bad things in a sense are gonna happen to you, because you're not going to look at these negative occurrences in your life as something as bad as happening. You're going to look at it as, you're going to treat it as a lesson. And then from there, you're going to be able to flip it into a positive. And then you will look back on it some weeks, months later, however long it take, and be like, damn, I'm glad that shit happened, because I needed that little instance to happen to kind of light a fire in my ass, to where it's like, oh shit, I can't be doing that if I call myself trying to do this and that, and just continuing to grow from it. But just with life, you can't enjoy the sunshine without the rainy days. So I've with my 25 years of living, even though I like because I'm keeping myself like a young OG, in the sense of I'm still young, but being 25 years old, I've lived enough life to kind of be able to have an idea as to just like what's really going on and just what you need, just like how you need to be moving in order to put yourself in a better position, even if I am still making the mistakes I'm making, because there's nobody on this earth is perfect. Like, regardless of how you're moving, there's going to be those times where you just make some bad choices along the way. Now, the magnitude of how bad those choices are, that's up to you. And hopefully you can keep it to where the bad choices you make are things you can bounce back from quickly, versus just things that just where it's going to take you some time to really dig yourself out that hole. But just always just remembering the I did that, and this was the outcome from that, and I didn't like the outcome that I got from that. So moving forward, if I want to see the results I would like to see, I can't do that same shit I was doing before. And just always just keeping that in the back of your mind, and just remembering just to not do the same shit that was putting you in the same negative position as before. And like, it's easier said than done.
So let's actually put a like face of names on that. So let's talk to the guy. So I'm very good with visual. So let's talk to the guy that right now is on the street, right? So there's two different types of people. There are people who are going through depression in a very nice area. Very nice area. They have like, you know, medium size of family, you know, medium income family. They got a nice house, you know, they got their own bedroom, you know, they got the posters on the wall and everything, and they're depressed. Then you got the dude who's physically really depressed because, yo, his cousin just literally passed last week. His brother died yesterday because of whatever was going on, like people getting shot up wherever he lives. And like, what do you tell both of them? Yeah. Right.
So I can speak from, you know, my own experience, because, you know, I am, you know, of course, blessed, and I do happen to fall more so into the former of someone who, you know, does have a decent job. I have a pretty decent house. You know, but with that being said, I have experienced a ton of death. You know, my father died last year, my grandmother died last year, and I was incredibly depressed. And, you know, I think one thing that helped me, kind of piggybacking off what you were saying, Doug, is gratitude and being able to keep, you know, the happiness, or just realizing the things that you do have in life that are going well, and being able to really concentrate and focus on that. So for the person who has, you know, everything, you know, or seemingly has everything on paper, really taking a step back to actually think about the fact that, you know what, I do have X, Y, and Z going well for me. And although like there might not be some things that I'm completely satisfied with, you know what, I am doing significantly better than.
Stop looking at what you ain't got. Stop looking at what you do.
Exactly. And for the person who, you know, maybe has lost a recent loved one, or you know, is just dealing with a ton of turmoil on just, you know, violence within their life, you know, I know it's difficult, and I know that gratitude, you know, if you feel like you don't have shit, then what is there to be, you know, thankful for? But that's where, you know, being grateful of the fact that you are here, you are breathing, and that you did have those experiences with those people. It's something that, you know, personally motivated myself to be able to continue to do better, knowing that I did have these people watching out for me.
Yeah, I respect that. I think because I honestly come from like the area where, you know, medium income family, you know, everything seemed to be right with me when I was young. I felt like I had the most toys. Actually, I did have the most toys than everybody other kid.
Bow.
Bow. More toys than you, Jim.
You ain't fucking with these toys.
Y'all ain't getting it. Had a big toy bin that was like, oh my gosh, Micah, you got so many toys. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, I do.
They mine.
And I got game stations. No. Bow. GameCube. Bow. Genesis. Bow. Everything. Bow. But so, you know, I came from a nice background. However, I still analyze like people who didn't. And I was like, yo, so they want some real advice, right? They want some people like, you know, who do live a certain life where, let's say, they pimping, but not preppy. So, so it's like, where do you tell them and what do you tell them? Because they see a day to day different from a medium income family. Like they see things different. They think that everybody's out to attack them. They think that whatever color they are, that they are the oppressed. They feel like they, no matter what, will always have to fight in the sense of, for my life, they got to carry something with them, and they got to just, you know, like they got to do their own thing. Like the only thing that keeps them sane is the fact that they don't think about it. You know, like they don't think about like the stuff that goes on in their life. To us, like they say, oh, yeah, you know, I had to, you know, like just some of the things, because I'm not going to stereotype some of the things that, you know, might come out. But like I know some people who, let's say, yo, seeing people die is like, it is what it is type of thing. Like they don't think about that. Like they like just it's just. Like just
they become jaded.
Yeah. Word out to Drake. They become jaded. Well, his jaded was different. His jaded was he couldn't get a girl he wanted. So like but like, you know,
well, been there before, right? that's where that mental comes back into play, right?
Man, do we even have time for the female?
Man, I tell you what, that had me depressed. All through high school, I was listening to Neo, So Sick, you know, Blankets Over My Head. So sick of them love songs. But, you know, continue. Everybody knows that one.
So, like, you know, so real talk. So, I actually did bring up a good topic, Brian. Like, we do need to talk about that. Because y'all females, whatever time limit we on, with any female for this podcast, like turn on this time because they gonna need to hear this because we gonna talk about some, yeah, that's a good topic right there. But like about the dude, what I would literally say to him is like, look, what you see in life, your environment has helped you cultivate. Period. You didn't see this because someone told you. You didn't see this because you kept watching TV and you just felt that no. Your environment, your exposure to the environment that you are in has helped you think the way that you think. All of the environment isn't like that. The one thing that I think needs to be taught is that whatever we are going through right now within the environment that we are in is so minuscule to the world. Like, we think that this is it. Not only are we alone, but the reason why I think the alone thing even happens is because we think that we cannot get out of our environment. Like, because of our lack of exposure to Italy, to maybe California, to Idaho, to Montana, to just different lifestyles and environments, our lack of exposure really incites depression. It incites that mental captivity. So when they see something different, they say, oh, that's not real. And I believe that for you to even think that something's not real when it exists is, first of all,
when all you see and know is negative, that's what you're going to believe. But if you start to put yourself out and seeing the good in the world and seeing the positive, then you're going to start to believe, oh, damn, maybe a change can come from this bullshit.
Now, here's the thing. That's the step one. So here's the thing. I think that a lot of people tell them step one and think step one's going to, like, help. Like, step one is just allowing you. It's showing you where to get the freaking Scantron at. But you still got to take the test. Like, so step one is exposure. This isn't it. And this is also reality, period. The second step is bringing this understanding back to your reality. Because that understanding will and can, but you have to allow it to, it will and can help you see your situations differently. Because you can be exposed, but you can still step back into where you was at and think, oh yeah, this is actually real. This is what I got to deal through on a day to day. Wrong. You can bring light into darkness. And that's the thing. Like, exposure is light. You can bring that light into darkness. Now, here's the thing. When there's so much dark, you don't think you're doing enough. The only thing you need to do is help another flashlight recognize it has an on button. That's the only thing. So wherever environment that you're in, like, you need to bring the light and you need to understand, snap, every single person in here has the capability of turning that light on. But I just need to help them get the light. Don't think about, yo, I won't be able to change, you know, like, people dying every day, people doing this every day, you know, I got to make a living every day doing this. And, you know, I could get caught up in the system because of it. But you just need to understand, snap, there is a way where you cannot. I just need to help other people think that there's going to be more light. And then right when all of that wokeness happens, then you're going to be able to say, what do I do about it? Now that I'm awake, what do I do about it? And that's that active question that leads you into the third step of, like, crap, let's go back and learn. You feel me? Like, I feel like that's...
It's lit.
Literally. Yeah. Like, that's that thing. That's that system that it's like, you have to first be aware.
That thing.
Like, you know, like, and then, like, when all of this wokeness starts happening, that's truly being awake, recognizing, crap, there is a difference. Now, what do I do that I'm awake? You have to act. I'm tired of all these people like, yo, you got to stay woke. Okay, but what are you doing while you staying awake? Like, you're not doing nothing. You waking up in the morning like, I'm awake. Huh. I'm awake. Like, okay, you could go back to sleep. You know, like, you just yelling, I'm awake. So that's how I feel. Hopefully that advice helps somebody in a sense of, like, if you in that bad environment or you in that situation, look, just because there's a difference doesn't mean you can, like, difference will come, but you have the power to help other people be exposed. Because you might not fully believe it, but the little kid that's 10 years old, that if you can expose them to that environment, they will believe it. And then they'll turn around and help you believe it. Either way, you just got to expose it to as many people as you can. Period.
That's it. Period.
School is done.
So, you know, with just closing up, you know, last few minutes of the show here today, I really wanted to just turn over the floor and, you know, we did have a few tangents on this show today, but ultimately I hope the message was heard as far as, you know, mental health awareness and just understanding a little bit more about mental health. I know for myself, I have that insurance. I'm sure y'all do as well, some of the listeners. And even if you don't, I think legally you have to. But with that being said, a therapist is covered by insurance. So definitely make sure if you do need to talk to someone, if you don't have people that are readily available, you need a unbiased opinion, definitely look into a therapist. But, you know, with that being said, I want to turn the floor over just for some fun commentary. If y'all want to give shouts out to anything, you know me, you know what I'm always shouting out. I'm always shouting out Pellegrino because I drink it and I'm hoping for a sponsorship. Huh. I'm about to shout out Chipotle because I'm after that black card. I'm going to shout out Podcast Detroit because thank y'all for setting us up here.
Qdoba is so much better than Chipotle.
Oh, man. You know, Randy, I love you. I love you.
Where's the gun sound?
How much does guac cost at Chipotle?
All right. You got me there. You got me there.
Where's the sound? Fired. Boom. Okay.
yo, Chipotle, I'm out here. Y'all need to start giving me free guac so I can combat this. You know what I'm saying? Give me free food.
But hey, real shit though, just like kind of like cap off the podcast this evening. Just if you out there and you having these negative thoughts or whatnot, don't think, oh shit, it's piss pussy to go holler at somebody about whatever it is you're feeling, because like at the end of the day, whether the majority want to admit it or not, like we all going through shit. Like there's always going to be those times in your life when you're going through just episodes of depression or whatnot. Just in terms of the severity level, that's gonna one depend on the particular situation you're going through and just overall you and just how you're processing everything that's going on. But just understand at the end of the day, there's never going to be a time in your life when just everything is going to be all good. But just understand that, one, you can talk about the shit, and you ain't got to feel like, oh, shit, I'm too hard. Like, oh, it was pussy to fucking talk about this shit. Like, nah, like, if you feel some type of way, let's talk about that shit, because there's no better release than just being able to just put all that shit on the flow. And then just from there, realizing the issue at hand and accepting it, but then not accepting it for, oh, this is going to be like this. Accepting that, okay, this is how I feel, but now what can I do to change the way I'm feeling? What can I do to change my circumstances? And then from there, putting action behind words, because we can all talk about the shit all day, but you can't just talk about the shit and not do nothing about it. So definitely put action behind word and just remember this shit is happening with all of us, whether we want to all discuss it or not. Like, it, what has definitely helped me to get more past just the episodes of depression or whatnot that I experienced in my own life is just being able to be real with myself and the things that I may be doing wrong in my life, and just overall the negative things that are going on in general. Just accepting that, okay, this is going on right now, but not accepting that this is how it has to be. Just realizing this is what's going on, but at the end of the day, I can do something about it to alter my circumstances. But from there, that's up to me. If I truly call myself trying to get myself out the negative situation I'm in, then that's going to be up to you, the listeners, too. Whatever bullshit you're going through in your life, just understand you may be going through it right now, but shit, there's a way out. But like, you're going to have to find that for yourself. You're going to have to look deep within yourself to realize, oh, this is what I need to be doing in order to get the results that I truly want. And from there, diligently work on doing what you need to do to get back that shit. Because you know if you're doing what you got to do. So don't bullshit yourself. Like, understand that, like, when there's a will, there's a way. Just believe in yourself and believe that positivity can come from these dark times, and hold true to that.
Mikey, do you want to go ahead and give some shout-outs, closing thoughts?
Come on. You know I'm about to give a shout-out. Where is it at? Yeah, you getting it. We making the wackest gun sounds. It's not an AK sound we making. We making an AP. I don't even know what that is. But
that's automatic pistol.
Automatic pistol.
Don't ask me how I know that. But I know.
Uh-oh, he... So, so here's the thing. Shout out is, I'm going to actually shout out to this Bless Up Challenge. So I just started this, right? What I'm going to do with this Bless Up Challenge is, for 31 days straight, a whole month, I am going to mention somebody on my social media that has blessed my life. And for the first time, I'm going to actually bless up to y'all. Bless up to the Preppy Pimpin' for being the first. I think this is the my first guest appearance on a podcast. I usually have guest appearances on my podcast, which is the BABME show, Being a Better Me Every Day. Just look it up, BABME, all podcast platforms. You'll be able to see that. Just me hopefully encouraging y'all to be better every day, period, no matter what circumstance and environment. But bless up to y'all. Y'all got a dope thing going on, because it's not just pimping, it's preppy at the same time. Y'all getting it how y'all learned it, and y'all flipping it to how y'all can make it.
We trying to.
Hey, so.
I like polos.
Yeah. Man.
I like to say Detroit. Shout out to that.
Hey, and stay I like Detroit. Pimping. And you like pimping. So, yeah.
I don't make money doing it, though. So I'm not good.
Hey, shout out to say Detroit, though, one time. Cop shot when we shot when you already know what's going on. SayDetroit.net. Hashtag SayDetroit. Instagram. @SayDetroit. Yeah.
Hey, get it. So.
Shot when we shot me.
Get it. So, yeah, that's what I, so bless up to y'all. I'm about to, bless up to y'all. Y'all doing an amazing thing here. And last thing about the, mental thing is, look, y'all, here's the thing. A lot of y'all problems is mental. You don't believe that. You may not see it now, but a lot of y'all problems are mental. And it's not a bad thing. It's actually something to where.
It's on your head, though, for real.
Exactly. It's how you think about something and how you walk about it. So one thing that's super good to know about mental things is that it can be worked on by you and help of others. You do not necessarily feel like you are just always going to be the oddball for the rest of your life. You have a way of help, learning, and moving forward. So, yeah.
On that note, that's episode 2.
In the words of Blaze Ifwood, boss up. Boss up. In the words of Blaze Ifwood, with RP, boss up. Real shit.
That's it.